As I was introduced, I am Matthew Verhoeg. I am pastor of the International Christian Fellowship, which sounds really impressive, but it's way out in the country. And it's international not because, as you might assume, that there's lots of people from all around the world there. It's mostly just, you know, Mennonites and Ukrainians and me, the odd Dutch pastor there. It's right on the border between the U.S. and Canada. So I've been friends with Tony, you know Tony, since seminary. You can ask me stories later. And we've gotten to preach in each other's churches over the years. And so it's fun to be able to come here. This is my favorite Sunday of the year. And who else is the favorite Sunday of the year? You're probably just getting over colds and you're getting over Christmas and all of the stress. If you've got kids, you know, getting people to sleep in routines gets a little bit crazy. But this is my favorite time of year. And this is the Sunday. We actually, our church used to not even meet this Sunday because people, they're like, yeah, everybody's tired. We're just going to take the Sunday off. And I was like, no, we can't because, you know, first of all, Sunday, we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead every single Sunday, no matter what. It's awesome. But as well, this is the Sunday when all the pretenders are gone. Like the Christmas and Easter Christians, like they're not coming this Sunday. If there is a day that you can find an excuse to miss church, it is this one. No one's going to blame you. Okay, maybe I'm going to blame you right now because I'm saying that this is the, you know, you guys here are the serious Christians. And now that you serious Christians are here, we can talk frankly about how we are going to attack 2019. Because 2019 is really exciting. Every year we get to this point, end of the year, as Thomas said, it's a little arbitrary. The calendar, it flips over, and it doesn't, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about it. But it's nice because you get that kind of feeling. All of a sudden, 2018, and all of your regrets, all of the things that you've done, all of the time that you've wasted, you flip the page, and it's gone. It might as well be 1998. It might as well be what's something from the 70s? I don't know. I wasn't alive back then. It might as well be something from back then. So, I have known Tony for 13 years. And the one thing that Tony Penner is he is very organized and a hard worker. I still remember this in seminary, where I would show up, I would like come down to the library, because that's kind of where seminary people, we hung out a little bit, and I'd be rolling in there about 10:30, you know, maybe I had a class, and I go by, and there's Tony working at his desk, and he'd always tell us, you know, if you guys would just work this like a 9-to-5 job, you'd get all your stuff done. But I could never quite do that, because I am a procrastinator. Anybody else a procrastinator? Like, yeah, there are procrastinators here. Okay, so we know. And all of those people who have their assignments done like a week before, you're just like, what are you doing? There's still 6 days. I mean, I have never completed an assignment before once I completed an assignment before it was due, but that was only because I mistakenly thought it was due on that day. I am eternally thankful that Steve Jobs did not invent the smartphone when I was in seminary. Like, if I had the option of Candy Crush or Greek, I think Candy Crush would win. So, I'm prone to wasting time, but I'm actually, when you think about habits, I'm probably the person you want to talk to, because I'm constantly having to organize my life to sabotage my own terrible procrastinating habits. And so today I'm hoping to let you into some of my secrets, or not secrets. I'm still pretty bad. My wife is looking at me. Why are you looking at me like that? Yeah. It's hard to get the things done that we want to get done. It's hard to set priorities. Like, we all have these smartphones in our pockets, You know, in times past, in generations past, the smartest people in the world were trying to cure polio or defeat the Nazis. And now the smartest people in the world are in Silicon Valley trying to figure out how to get you to spend 5 more minutes a day on Facebook. I actually took the bold step last week of deleting Facebook off my phone because I just couldn't handle the monotonous scrolling through. So you get to a point where it's like, wow, I've seen this already. Like, what am I doing here? And you look up and you've wasted 15, 20 minutes. My wife is looking at me again. So, we would like to be more productive. And here we have a great opportunity. The schedule, the calendar is about to be wiped clean. And 2019 lays ahead of us. Which brings me to point one. We need goals. We need something fixed to set our hearts and minds on. We need to set our direction and purpose purposefully. All right, this sermon is based on Psalm 119, but I'm not going to read all of Psalm 119 because my time will be up. So I'm just going to read 4 verses that are particularly important. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Psalm 119. Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We must be on guard. Because we are under attack in this world. And I'm not one to sit here and blame the government, the schools, the internet for the problems that we faced. Because the deepest problem is the sin in our hearts, the sin that seeks after self-glory and pleasure and things that ultimately destroy ourselves and those around us. And that is besides the fact that we live in a world inhabited by spiritual powers aligned against God and his purposes. Oh, I play basketball. I love basketball. I love the sport. I played at Providence, and I coach. And I tell the kids all the time this, that, you know, we have, you know, maybe one player who's kind of decent. Sorry, Saris. I coach my daughter, too. That girl can just dribble up and she can shoot and score and it's great. That's fine. It's not what we're trying to do. We try to pass 3 times at least, but if our worst player, if one player decides to take a play off, we're giving up a basket underneath the hoop really, really quickly. And in the same way, if we decide to take one day of our Christian life off, sin is going to win that day. Satan is going to win that day because sin and Satan don't take days off. And in fact, the day that you start and you're just sort of like, well, I'm just going to go about this day and not think about God at all. That's sort of when those things come in the back and all of a sudden our bad habits, our sins, our tendencies creep up on us. We need to guard our way, and we need to guard it, this is what it says, not guard it in a like a basketball hoop, but we need to guard it according to God's word. This is what the whole chapter of 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, is about. We need to play defense against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we need to play offense towards our goal. And our goal is right here, verse 10. With my whole heart, I seek you. Our ultimate aim is God himself. This is the first commandment. We seek him. This is the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first table of the 10 commandments. This is I mean, this is your vision statement. Our most fulfilling life is found when Christ is most glorified in us. In God himself is our most fulfilling life. He is our goal and our aim. We seek after him, not just in some sort of academic sense. We seek after him with our hearts. We seek him with our emotions. We long for him as a bride longs for her lover. And the seeking implies that it takes work. Seeking is really hard, especially when you're a man. I have man eyes. I look for things and I don't find them. I'm constantly looking over my house for my wallet, and I'm like, where is my wallet? And I look, and I look, and I look. Actually, I don't look that long, because usually I look for about 45 seconds, and then I'm like, hey, Kari, Kari's my wife, where's my wallet? And she's just like, how am I supposed to know where your wallet is? And then, like, 4 seconds later, she just picks up my wallet and hands it to me. It's right here in front of you. Why didn't you see it? Seeking is hard. I don't know if it's hard for women. Maybe it's not hard for women. But seeking is hard for me. And so if we're going to seek after God with our whole hearts, this is going to take effort. This is going to take work. And yet, the second half of this verse says, let me not wander from your commandments. And so on one side, there's this feeling where the psalmist is saying we have to seek after God, we have to be grounded in his word, and then right away his prayer, and this is what this really is, his prayer boils up and says, let me not wander from your commandments, because he knows that this isn't some sort of mechanical way that we get close to God. We don't just fulfill the right sort of, it's not like a magic potion. You put in all the chemicals, and I don't know how magic potions go, or a witch's brew. You put in like the toad wart and stuff. You stir it all around, and poof, you've got a magical Christian. We don't just mechanicalistically read our Bible and pray, and we become good Christians. At every moment, we are praying to God, let me not wander, because we know our hearts are prone to wandering. And you can probably just look back at your own year to see that. I know I can't. I know I do. The psalmist goes on and says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to store up God's word in our hearts. Now, this is what this whole sermon is going to be about. How do we store up God's word in our hearts? How do we do this on a day-by-day basis so that we can be on guard, so that we can seek after God? I hope that all of us want to do this. Because this is the thing that happens. I go to different churches, and when I'm at my church and I'm preaching and I see all of the faces there, I know the whole story behind every face. And I know the people who are walking and growing. I know the people who are really solid in God's word or growing as Christians. And I know the people who are there just because they want to support their wife. And they don't maybe really buy into all of this gospel stuff. And so, as we look at this, know that reading your Bible is not a magic formula for a better life. The first step in getting to know God is belief and repentance. And so if you're just here today because, you know, you just wandered in the back or something, or you came to support or somebody dragged you along, know that before any of this happens, before any of the reading the Bible, praying, before any of these disciplines happen, you need to cry out to God and say, God, I need you for everything. and you need to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting because as we go through this life, that is something that we are always returning to. You can see it in Psalm 119 here. Let me not wander from your commandments, because even as we seek, we are prone to wander. And so we repent and we turn again. So how can we grow? First, some statistics. A statistic is when, I coined the term, so I try to get people to start using it. A statistic is when a preacher uses a statistic to show how bad things are to tell you how to be good. Okay? So statistics. Only 19% of churchgoers read their Bible every day, according to surveys. And some of those 19% are probably lying. So 18% read it rarely or never. Now, I believe the 18%. 90% desire to please Jesus in everything they do, but only 56% find them thinking biblical truths throughout the day. Now, if you are not thinking biblical truths as you go to work, as you deal with your kids, as you go about your life, you are not going to act in Christ-exalting ways. And so we need to set our habits so that we are thinking biblical truths. We need to be like the man, was already mentioned here in Psalm 1. And this is, Psalm 1 is really the model for what a godly life looks like. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." God's word tells us that the person who is living the blessed life is meditating on God's word day and night. And yet, only 1 in 5 of us, maybe some are lying, are doing it. So how can we fix this? So we want to meditate on God's word. How are we going to do it? All right, so I have a method for accomplishing goals here, and it's kind of borrowed from secular literature, but it works. It's not unbiblical, but it's not precisely biblical. And it's called SMART goals. Anybody use SMART goals? My wife is a dietitian. So she uses this system to teach people how to lose weight. And so I learned it from her. But it works really well for any kind of goal you're going to set. And it's an acronym that stands for, a goal needs to be specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, or realistic, and time-bound. So, what do we as Christians want to do in 2019? We want to grow closer to God. We want to grow closer to God. Now, if you don't want to grow closer to God, if you're sitting here thinking like, you know what, I'm just going to coast in 2019. Remember Psalm 119, that we need to be on guard. If you are sitting here thinking, I am just going to coast for 2019, you are going to be backsliding and you are in danger, because the Bible says that those who are saved are those who walk, Romans 8:4, who walk not according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. Walking implies forward momentum. Now, it might be small, might be just one step each day, but you've got to be thinking about how you are going to take that step. So, if we are going to set a specific goal of growing, we need to think about what is going to be best. Now, there's actually Ed Stetzer, when he worked for Lifeway, he did this really big survey, and it correlated Christians who said they were growing in their walk versus what things they were doing. And so what actions were Christians doing who reported that they were growing in Christ? And the number one thing that correlates with growth as a Christian, the number one thing is giving money to the church. Okay, it's not giving money to the church. I'm sure it's the year end, and I'm sure they would love for you to give money, but it's not giving to the church. What the number one thing is reading your Bible, being in the Word, and it's not even close. It's like 88% of people who are growing as Christians report being in the Word at least weekly, mostly daily. Now, the others are prayer and being involved in church. Now, just showing up to church is good, but actually sitting out, volunteering for something, getting involved in small group, that is how we grow. And so I want to narrow this down today, just because Psalm 119 is focused on the Word, to the specific goal of getting in the Word, because this is the core thing. This is the thing that correlates with growth most. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. Second is, when we set a goal, our goal needs to be measurable. Now, how many people have come up with a goal in their life? Like, I think I'm going to write a book. Okay. Yeah, lots of people have said, I'm going to write a book. Okay, I've said this too. And this is why there's a folder on my computer of 1/8 written books. There's a lot of first chapters. And then after a while, I just, you know, I forget about it and I just move on to something else. And this happens a lot of times in our life. We have this good idea of something that we're going to do, and yet we give up really quickly because we don't have a mechanism for seeing our accomplishments. We need accountability. Galatians 6:1, Paul exhorts us, keep watch on yourself lest you be tempted. We need accountability. And so I think the best way, if you're going to set out to read the Bible, you need a plan. You need a plan of attack. Because if you're just thinking, oh, I'm just going to read the Bible sometime, and you just go about it, it probably isn't going to happen. So there are lots of great resources for this. If you type into Google, type in ESV Bible reading plans, it'll take you to a page with about 10 plans. If you are really addicted to your phone and you keep it close to you, maybe, I'm not suggesting this, maybe you need to burn your phone, but if you don't want to burn your phone, there's some great apps that are very good for Bible reading. YouVersion is a great app, makes Bible reading pretty easy, has really good audio features. So if you're getting up early, you don't want to get up earlier, you can get an app on your phone and start the Bible reading plan, go into your car, hit the play, and it'll play your section so you can listen to them as you drive to work. This is what I do in the mornings when I have to go to the barn and get up at 4:30 in the morning. And so, if you have a plan, you can just check it off every day. And that gives you a measurement to see how well you are doing. I think I should probably give a short warning here. Because there's a certain type of person that loves check marks. Who loves check marks? Everybody kind of loves check marks, but there are people who live for check marks. Yeah, there are people who live for check marks. And I like check marks too. I probably don't live for check marks, but I like them. And you can start looking at your Bible reading plan and getting a check mark here, check mark there, and maybe you're doing something with prayer, you're serving in church, and pretty soon you're looking at this physical thing that's saying, wow, what an awesome Christian I am. And pretty soon you start looking over at Bill. Apologies to any Bills. And be like, well, Bill doesn't have a Bible reading plan. Boy, I'm such a great, and you can start taking your eyes off the fact that everything you have is a gift given to you by Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you have earned, and start thinking, boy, I am a bunch of great check marks here. This is the problem with the Pharisees, and even more problem is that there's a thing sociologists refer to it as moral licensing. Moral licensing. They've done tests on this with university students. You know, they set up like a beggar on the street, and they're going to this research thing, and they pass the beggar, and some people give the beggar money, some people don't. Then they go and they do this test that they can easily cheat on, and so they can see if the people are going to cheat on the test. And so now, a certain number of people gave money to the beggar, a certain number of people didn't. And then a certain number of people cheated on the test, a certain number of people didn't. Guess which group, the people who gave money to the beggar or the people who didn't give money to the beggar, cheated on the test more often? It was the people who gave money to the beggar. Now the supposition is, and I kind of know this well, is that after we have done something good, we kind of feel a little bit of a license to do something bad. And if you're a kind of checkmark person, you're just like checking mark off, you know, you can very easily start to justify secret sins and habits because, well, God, look at all the good things I've done over here. Tithing the mint and cumin, forgetting the weightier things of the law. All right, so the third part of a goal, so it should be specific, should be measurable, needs to be actionable. And actionable is important because if you just print off a plan, you set it there, I am going to read the Bible sometime that day, it might not happen because you need to have a specific plan of how you are going to fulfill this. I know a certain people are going to hate this, but I'm just going to say it. You should get up in the morning and read your Bible. You should do it first thing in the morning. Now, I know a bunch of people are being like, oh, here the morning people again are oppressing us night owls. You can do it. I mean, if you're going to read the Bible late at night, all right, I'm happy with that. If that's the only time you can do it, I'm not going to judge you. But I really, really suggest you do it first thing, and you prime the pump. Now, I talked about like habits of growing Christians. And there's something that happens in our brains when we do something habitually in the morning. Now, we all do certain things habitually. But it kind of keys our brain to how we're going to focus that day. So we sit down, we read God's word first, and all of a sudden our brain is keyed to thinking about this is how we are going to attack the day by God's word, not just by whatever, you know, if you're pulling up TMZ in the morning first thing, that's probably going to tilt your brain in a certain way versus reading God's word. We need to have a specific plan. So you need to think about how am I going to do this every day? I'm going to wake up in the morning, is what I say. And I am going to get in a certain setting, like I'm going to go to my study, I'm going to get out of bed, or I'm just going to like grab my Bible and lay in bed. That works too. I'm going to get out of my bed. You know, a really good thing to lock habits in is give yourself some sort of reward. So who likes coffee here? Anybody like coffee? I like coffee. Coffee's great. Okay, if you're a tea person or something, I don't know. I don't understand you. If you have a coffee habit in the morning, a coffee ritual, I kind of do, how about you tie your coffee habit to your Bible reading habit? You go, you get your coffee, you pour it, or you, I don't know what people in the city do. We just make it in like a thing. I'm not a fan. I'm a country boy, so I don't know what to do. We pour it in a pot and we boil it. And sit down, open up God's word, turn it to your page, start reading it, then pick up your coffee cup, take a sip. Now, these sort of things, they lock into your like synapses. I read God's word, I get good things. And it's awesome. Like, it's a little bit of a cheat. Like, it's a cheat because, you know, if you're really spiritual, you'd just be getting, like, good things from God's word. And that's, it's great. You will get good things from God's word. But whatever thing we can use to, you know, delude our sinful bodies into doing something good, I'm all for it. All right? So, coffee, Bible, good. Have a plan for doing it. You know, in a society that values free-spiritedness so much, we often imagine that the most spiritual people are the ones that are just going to be like, I'm just going to go off and I'm going to do something really spiritual. I'm going to read my Bible, just how God moves me. But as I've grown in life, I've discovered that the people who are most spiritual, who are the ones who do all of these things without even thinking. They are part of their routine of life. They meditate on God's word day and night. And it's no trouble for them because it's as simple as their morning coffee. Fourth part. We need to have the goal be relevant. That is, it needs to be relevant to what we're doing. We said reading God's word, that's relevant. And the other R is realistic. So, if you have never attempted to read the whole Bible before, I do not suggest that you open up on January 1st, Genesis, and just start reading all the way through. Because many a well-intentioned soul has gotten lost in Leviticus. Oh, I love Leviticus. Leviticus, I preached through the entire book of Leviticus. I know, you guys can pray for my church. But to those who aren't accustomed to hearing from God's word, these things can be kind of difficult. And so we need to be realistic in our goals. And so if you're just starting out, what I suggest is you start out with just the New Testament. Print off a New Testament plan or use the New Testament. Just read through the New Testament, a chapter a day. You can get through the New Testament in less than a year. It's not super onerous. The Bible exhorts us again and again to walk in Christ, to grow in the faith. And too often when we think about how refinery happens, we want to jump. We want to jump to like this whole other level. And yet the Bible doesn't say, you know, become holy right now. It says take one step forward as you walk in this path. Take one inch up as you grow in this faith. And so as we think about 2019, don't think about reforming your whole life. Set your sights just a bit higher than they are right now and take a step forward. And the last part of a SMART goal is that it is the T, to be time bound. And that our goals should have an end date. I mean, if you're just starting, you want to read God's word for 30 days. You would just want to like, I'm going to go January. I'm not that busy. That might be a good thing. Because when we don't have deadlines like me, I said, I'm the procrastinator. We tend to drift. And this is very true. So let's be smart. Specific, read God's word. Measurable, have a mechanism, have a plan to read God's word. Actionable. Have actions that you do, routines that are built into your day to read God's word. Relevant, aim for something better than what you have now, but not so difficult you're going to give up. Time bound. Set a deadline for accomplishing this goal. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's be smart and read God's word this year. Let's pray.